Well, good morning, True North Church. How are we doing today? You look amazing. Give me some energy out there. You know I always bring the energy. Before we dive into God's Word this morning, first of all, I just want to highlight something that we just showed here in the video. Today is our second Sunday of the month, and so today we're having what we call Discover True North. And really, that's just an opportunity for anybody who's new or newer to True North to meet some of our leadership, maybe meet some other people who are new to the church. And really, our goal in that moment is just to help you feel like you're connecting in here to the life of True North Church. And so we hold that right over here in this little room over here on the side of our worship space called the True North Hub. I'll be over there after the service. We'll have some of our other leadership over there. We would love to meet you. It's about, usually takes about 10, 15 minutes. We just can answer any questions that you might have, get to know your name, find out how you ended up here, and ultimately, again, see how we can come alongside of you on your faith journey. We would love to connect with you after the service. So if you're new, maybe it's your very first time, pop on in, say hello. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks or a few months now, and you just feel like you want to get to know some more people here. Please, again, pop in immediately following the service. On that note, we have a guest speaker with us today, and I am so excited that Brad Henderson is here to bring the Word of God and to share what I think is a really powerful and important message for our church this morning. I want to let you know, Brad is the president of the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. For those of you who have been around True North for a while, hopefully you know this, but the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation is an organization that we financially support as a church. And so we love what they're doing at the PKF. They have so many different programs there. It is really multifaceted what they are doing. But one of the biggest things is that they are helping young people discover and know who Jesus is. We send our students to one of their Laurelville weekend camps that's going to be coming up here in just a few weeks. They have summer, an amazing summer program out in Michigan that they take kids to. They have an orphanage and a huge ministry down in Haiti. I mean, they're just doing all sorts of amazing things. And so Brad oversees that ministry, has had an incredible impact on the city of Pittsburgh over the last 30 years. He's also the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Penguins. And so ultimately, I say all that to say this, Brad is a kingdom man. He's building the kingdom. He's doing great work. And I'm so excited to have him here with us today. And so True North fam, would you give him a huge True North welcome as Brad comes on up to share this morning.
It is truly good to be here with you guys this morning. It's not my first rodeo here. I actually have been where you sit and gotten to listen to Justin a number of times. Love the passion that Justin brings to his message, but also he's a great teacher, right? There's a lot of wisdom there. You guys are blessed to have him. And today is Pastor Appreciation Day. I didn't know that. Amber reminded us that in our little huddle, but man, you got to give this guy a lot of love and appreciation. So I don't know what you guys are thinking, but maybe a all-inclusive trip to Hawaii for the whole family. Yeah, or maybe the lake at North Park. I don't know what is in town, but hopefully at some point today, you'll give him a hug, a handshake, and tell him how much you appreciate him. I served, I've been in full-time ministry for 40 years now. And about the first half of that was in the local church. Love the local church. But it's hard. You know, I think it's the toughest job in the world that Justin has. So I am super grateful for him. My son Jack and his wife Meredith are sitting back there. My two beautiful granddaughters worship here regularly. So I am really grateful for True North. And because of that, I've had a close eye on you guys. And the other thing that's amazing is I serve Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. And I'm here, I'm really grateful to get a chance to say thank you to you for what you do for my immediate family, but what you're doing in the body of Christ. And one of the things that you do is you support the PKF. And some of you knew that, some of you didn't, but that is significant. And we serve over 200 Christian organizations in the city of Pittsburgh, kind of the radius. And there are only two that support us on a regular monthly basis. And you're one of them. And it's not about the PKF. What that says to me is that you're about the kingdom here. And just so encouraged by that. You should be encouraged by that, especially a church that's young You know, I served in a church where they said, you know, eventually we'll get to giving to others, but we got to kind of grow internally first. And no, give to God's work around you, and He will bless what you're doing. And I have certainly seen that. So my wife, Beth, you got to wave, hon. 38 years of marriage, right? Almost 40 of serving in ministry together. With kids at the PKF. She also serves the pirate wives and girlfriends, the penguin wives and girlfriends on a regular basis. We do services for the pirates. I do it on Sunday. She does a Bible study on Tuesday night, and actually usually Tuesday, depends on the Pens schedule. We never do a Pens thing on a game day. So I was just down there. You guys can be praying for those ministries. Donnie Kelly, right, a Pittsburgh guy, the new Pirate manager, was a player for me. He loves Jesus more than anything else, and because of that, his job is really difficult. You know, I just bumped into him the other day. Tough that Pirates decide to let some of their coaching staff go, right? And these are friends of his, and difficult stuff. And he's raising three teenage boys, right? That's a challenge, too. And then the Penguins, Blake Lizotte. Okay, if you're watching the game, pray for Blake. He's my spiritual leader. The NHL, there's not a lot of spiritual light in that world, and he's got a tough job. He and his wife, Abby, are expecting it in February. His life's going to change radically. Sometimes I don't know how these guys do the professional athlete thing and do what they need to do as husbands and fathers. It's a challenge. So in Pittsburgh, we exist to serve kids, and most directly, people are on the front lines loving and serving kids. We love to encourage youth pastors. We have programs, True North coming to Lauraville in just a few weekends here. We'll have roughly 2,000 kids over 5 weekends from probably 50 different ministries around town. And what do? We tell them about Jesus, man, just the basics of the gospel. And you can be praying about that. And then we do a ministry up in Michigan called Surf City. Ryan, it's like we got the old band back together this morning. He grew up in our programs, but leading worship at camps. Ryan was known by the 13-year-old girls when he was in high school and college as super cute Ryan, all right? You know, I forget, we went to Haiti. We ran a camp on the beach for kids there, and he translated to Haiti. Justin Bieber, they'd actually heard of him. They thought he was Justin Bieber. He busted out in a couple Bieber songs. And yeah, so super, super good to be with you. And my hope is to do two things this morning. First of all, to give you the Word of God, right? You guys need something to go out, man. It's a tough world we live in. To go out and love your neighbor. We're going to be talking about that today. But also to learn a little bit about us and what we do in the process, because you guys are a valuable partner. And I hope you'll walk out of here feeling like, hey, it's great to know the impact that True North is having outside of where we are today in our community and in our world. I think you'll feel really encouraged by that. But I'm gonna start with a little quiz. I feel a little bad. It's great having the long break in between services. I met a lot of people. Three college students were here from Pitt. They had been here because Mark Steffi had spoken a few weeks ago and thought, man, this is a great place. So they came back today, and I started off with a little quiz, you know, and I'm thinking, man, that's just what they needed. So are you guys ready for a little quiz? You can't flunk this quiz, all right? I'm gonna reel off a few names, and there are people that I think everybody in here will know, and I just want you to think in your head just the one word that comes to you when you hear these names, right? First one, Taylor Swift, right? Most of us heard Taylor Swift. We got some Swifties out there, and we got some people that are really tired of the whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing. How about this one? Donald Trump. You can't possibly sit there and not have something that comes to mind for Donald, right? I'm not going to get into it, but the guy definitely has some attributes, right? Donald. How about this is a good one for today. Aaron Rodgers, right? For 4 months, We lived through the, is Aaron Rodgers going to sign with the Steelers saga, right? Everybody had something to say about Aaron Rodgers, yeah? And what are they saying now? You know, some of the haters are like, hey, if he gets it done today, we're all going to be fans, right? So there's one. We'll get a little more serious here. Jesus Christ. A little tougher. I'll let you think about that a little bit. If you're going to think of one word that really describes Jesus, I think there's a right answer here. He actually answers this for us, and we'll get to it. It's the word love, okay? I'm going to make a case for that. Here's another thought-provoking one to put in the blank. Put your name in there, right? What's the one thing that people would say about you? Your coworkers, your family, your spouses, your kids, maybe grandkids, right? So a little transparency here. Somebody gave me this quiz once. I never forgot it. I was doing good things, was working with kids in full-time ministry, had my head down, was really trying to change the world for a lot of the right reasons, but this really stopped me dead in my tracks because I could think of a lot of words that would go in that blank for me and still have a bunch, but it was not really clear to me what people would think or say, to be honest. And I've never forgotten that because Scripture is very clear about the importance of love in our lives. And one of the blessings about being a guest pastor, Justin said, hey, preach about whatever you want, right? So this is, I can make a strong case. It's hard to pick one passage and say it's the most important in all of Scripture, but this one is certainly in the discussion. And why is that? Because Jesus said so. So Jesus was asked this very question. Hey, man, what is the most important thing? Okay, and I don't know if we get that Scripture up there. I think Reuben's back there, Amber. Comes from the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is actually asked this question in three different occasions in Matthew and Mark as well. But it says, in one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, right? One of those Pharisees. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm going to read that again. You guys listening? What must I do to inherit eternal life? All right. Quick time out here, right? This is the question, right? Jesus, the guy's not saying, what should I do to be a good person? Not even what should I do to be a follower of Christ? He's like, what should I do to inherit eternal life, right? So should I have our attention a little bit? And a lot of you have read the Scripture and know it. And one of the reasons I'm revisiting it is because sometimes things become so familiar to us, it loses its power. And I hope that'll come back to us a little bit today. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this. Jesus was big on the doing part of this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay. So context is important here. Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience, and they know the answer just like this Pharisee did, because if you were a devout Jew, you recited this passage, which came out of three Old Testament passages, one in Numbers, two in Deuteronomy, every day of your life, three times a day. I'm going to read the most familiar one to you, and unfortunately, I forgot to put this in my notes, so I'll just have to read it to you. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Sound familiar? Jesus is echoing this. With all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Okay? You know, devout Jews were very serious to the point where they did this over their doors. This was written. They put pieces of parchment and strapped them to their arms, right? They'd put it on their heads. Those that were really serious would literally tattoo this on their foreheads, which doesn't sound as radical to us now, right? But back then, this was pretty radical. They were the only ones with tattoos on their foreheads, right? This was called the Shema. And I was at a really traditional service, a memorial service yesterday, and they recited the Apostles' Creed. You know, as a kid, I grew up doing that every Sunday. I knew that Apostles' Creed. It was their Apostles' Creed, their Shema. So the Pharisees had literally taken this thing and the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, if you read them, very clear, right? Don't need a whole lot of clarification. We can read the Ten Commandments and understand what they mean. But these Pharisees, these religious teachers, had taken the Ten Commandments and actually added all these little laws that go around with them. 418 affirmative things. 418 things you needed to do to fulfill those commandments, okay? Long list. I know some of your eyes are glazing over. I'm not going to read through them today, right? 418 you need to do, and then 365 negative things. Don't do, right? 418 was for parts of the body. I have no idea. I had no idea that there were that many parts of the body. If there's any medical experts in here, probably more we've discovered. But then 365 for every day of the year of things that you shouldn't do, right? I mean, that's a lot of rules to come out of the tent. And that's why these guys really aggravated Jesus, right? Jesus was a to-the-point guy. But you get to see what's going on here, right? And the confusion that these folks have called. Very clear thing, right? Love God, love your neighbor. Couldn't be clearer or more simple. But it wasn't. I'm going to circle back on the second part of the passage because it's important for us. And again, you know, a really simple passage. I think if for those of us that grew up in the church, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know what? Pretty much the whole world knows the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The good guy that stopped. We know what a Good Samaritan was, whether we've read scripture or not, okay? But the reason Jesus tells this story is in the Old Testament, it talks about their neighbor, but it was very narrowly defined by the Pharisees who their neighbor was. It wasn't neighbor like we think a neighbor. It was specifically somebody who was Jewish, right? And fully Jewish. Nobody else mattered. Okay, so what Jesus is going to do here is a little mind-blowing, believe it or not. It's a story we've heard many times, but has a lot of significance to it. It says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Okay, you know, as a kid when I heard the story, the term half dead, I was just thinking the guy's pretty beat up. But Jesus is using very specific terminology here because the Pharisees had come up with this term, this idea, half dead, okay? So when a person was half dead and was bleeding because that person was unclean, you had to stay away, right? So what happens next for me as a kid, the priest, right, the pastor, surely Justin's going to stop and help this guy, right? No. And people knew that. It says, a priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Other side of the road. You know, they had so defined this thing that if somebody was bleeding, he had to literally walk on the other side of the road, not to soil himself, not to become spiritually unclean, right? Then it says this guy, a Levite, okay? Levite was another religious guy. They actually assisted the priests, right? It'd be like a deacon or an elder in our church today. It says, the Levite, when he came, the place saw him, he passed by on the other side as well, right? All right, here comes the shocker for people, though, right? We've gotten so used to hearing the story from the other side of it. It says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged him, his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three, seems like an obvious question, do you think, and it is, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. All right? So why is this a shocker? Well, Samaritans were half Jews. Jews hated Samaritans because Samaritans had broken the law and married outside of the Jewish faith. Okay, and we don't have time to unpack all that, but you know, when God first chose the Jewish nation as the chosen people, it was very important to keep that pure, and God made that clear, not to marry outside your marriage. So the Jews thought these guys are the traitors of all traitors, right? So there was a lot of hatred that had built up. They lived side by side, they shared roads, and for the Samaritan to be the one that stopped and helped. Shocker, right? But what was he doing? He was loving his neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And there's the brilliance that Jesus threw into this passage. I don't know about you guys. I am really good at loving myself. I wake up every morning thinking about me, thinking about my day, thinking about how to spend my time, right? And, you know, for these Pharisees that had so narrowly defined this concept, it really alienated everybody else. And the great news for us today is that they thought the Messiah was coming for only the Jewish people, but Jesus is like, hey, I'm here for everybody. And this is one of the times where Jesus really declared this, that, yeah, I'm the Messiah, but I'm here for all people. I don't know about you. That's really good news for me this morning because I'm not Jewish. You know, I grew up outside of, you know, the Old Testament faith, right? But what does a Samaritan do? He does what he would do for himself, man. And he was on the side of the road. He'd ridden this road many times. Who knows? Maybe he even got beat up once. Somebody took care of him. But he takes a guy on his own donkey to the inn, totally stops his whole day, screws up his whole schedule, misses all these meetings, missed his son's baseball game, probably. I couldn't believe there was a baseball game going on when I pulled up this morning. We'll talk about that another time, but yeah. But 2 denarii, 1 denarii is a full day's wages. So think about that. I don't know what you guys are making, but 2 full days' wages, gives it to the innkeeper and says, hey, I'll be back. And if this man needs anything else, again, this is a stranger, I'll take care of it, right? And what's Jesus doing here? He's telling us how radical this love for our neighbor needs to be, right? And I've gotten better over the years at loving my wife. I've gotten better. I love my kids, my grandkids, but still pale. But how am I doing with loving my neighbor? And, you know, that's ultimately the question that I want to ask you today, right? And, you know, God's put a lot of people in our lives, some that we like, some that we don't like. But Jesus is saying, hey, we're called to love all of them in a radical way, right? I'm a runner, I'm kind of weird. I look at my resting heart rate all the time on a watch, and I VO2 max, HRV, all these ridiculous things, right? But what I really ought to be doing as emphatically is thinking about my heart for God, right? I do that some, my heart for Jesus. What's going on with that? The Grinch, right? Christmas is coming up, getting fired up about that, got grandkids. Now, gonna get to relive my childhood, you know, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the original one, even though the animation's real bad. I don't know if they pick up on this scene in the new ones. I need to catch up now. There's a big gap here. But the most telling scene for me as a kid, right, was when the Grinch had stolen all the packages. He stole all the gifts. He's going up the mountain. He's got that cute little dog, and he's like beating it, whipping it. Probably couldn't even make a movie like this anymore, right, with that animal cruelty going on there. But the point I'm getting to is they say the Grinch's heart, right? And they draw that little box on his chest, and there's this little red dot in there that's beating. It's like the size of a pea, right? I mean, this Grinch, I mean, who steals Christmas presents, man? He's the worst guy that ever lived or whatever he is. But then what happens? He hears singing. You know, these children whose gifts that he stole, little Cindy Lou Who, right? And she's belting that out the top of her lungs. He's changed by that. And all of a sudden they show his heart and it's like huge. It's like beating out of his chest, right? And he suddenly becomes nice to the dog and they turn the sled around. They have roast beast and the whole village lives happily ever after, right? I think that's a great visual for us today. And my question is your heart for God growing? You know, one of the reasons I, you know, check all that stuff as a runner, because I know, you know, it's a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it's either getting stronger, it's getting weaker. There's no in between. And I think our hearts for God are the same way, right? So ask yourself, what's your heart doing today? Is it getting stronger? Is it getting smaller, right? What are your vital signs, right? Scripture tells us that we need to be obedient to God first and foremost. Good vital sign there. Are you spending time with God? Are you spending time in his word? Are you getting up in the morning and coming into his presence and saying, hey, God, I'm a follower of yours. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. This is your day. That's a vital sign. And then finally, how are you doing with loving your neighbor? You know, is there somebody that God has put in your life and that you just need to do a better job of loving today? You know, God does that all the time. One other passage of scripture I want to read very quickly is, I think sometimes we underestimate the power of God's love working in and through us, right? Like I think about, you know, as a parent, you know, I was blown away by the love I immediately had for my kids, right? It was like the strongest form of human love, right? And it's just, and my love for my kids, my grandkids, my wife, my neighbors has grown as I've grown closer to God, because it's that power of God's love. His love is so much stronger working in and through us. And Jesus reminds that. Very truly, Jesus says, this is John chapter 14, 12 through 17. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? Vital sign number one. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, the Holy Spirit, and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, right? Did you take that promise seriously in your life, man? You get the power of the love of God working in and through you, right? Is there something in your life that God's put out there and you're like, nah, could never, never do that? You know, think about True North Church and the really exciting things that are happening here. And you know what? You have some challenging days lying ahead as this church grows, you know, and the Holy Spirit's working here. You're going to outgrow this place at some point, right? It'd be nice to kind of stay. I was talking to someone about the North Park days this morning. He's like, yeah, that was really nice. We'd worship outside. The kids would run around, and right? But you got to come down from the mountaintop and love the people around you. And that's going to be a challenge. But you know what? Don't sell the Holy Spirit working through this place short. So I'm going to shift gears here. We do 50% of our work at the PKF is in Haiti, right? And I'll explain that in a second, but I had a quick video I want to show you. And I'm hoping that you guys will be excited about the way that you are loving your neighbors in Haiti. And a really interesting thing, Ruben here, who's in the back room running the sound, going through the slides, shared with me after the service that he is from Haiti, right? And I got a good friend from Ruben in Haiti. So it's amazing how God works. But sit back and watch this video, and I'll break things down for you.
We are not just helping kids, taking care of them, doing charity. We prepare people for the future lives. And we want them to take our place in the future too. And one thing that the mother and IDD are doing is that they teach some skills that are very important for them for their future, like washing clothes, or to cook, or to take care of your house. And that's what they do for Ruth. Ruth came because her mother passed away when she was just born. Her father did not want to take charge of her either. She was like a very sad kid. As we planned to make IDD a family for kids, she found a family in IDD. Ruth might be a good professional, you know, somebody that we can make plans for. You can say, Ruth, some days I want to be like the Dr. Westland and take his place and doing maybe more. She's focused on being something big, to do a lot of impact. She can do that. Wackenson lost his father when he was 3 months old. His mother decided to give Wackenson to us. When Wackenson came, he was very, very malnourished. It was a long process to save him. Typically, kids in his situation, difficult to save them. But we had to do something. And we call him the action man because he's ready for everything. In the future, I'm sure he is going to be the one to replace me, Ashida. The only thing that he wants to do is to become a doctor. He spent some time with me while vacation, and I think he's going to be a good doctor. Esther came to IDD because her family situation was very, very bad. Her father decided to bring her to IDD. I can say that Esther is one of the smartest kids that we have in IDD. She's shy, but when you have time to talk to her, she has some brilliant ideas, and from nothing, she can create something. The youngest, she challenged them to study. She brings ideas about giving them some time that they can think by themselves. You realize that Amy and Amos and Vilbo, which is not very good in school, starting to be better. And the idea is for Master. You don't have to challenge her to do something, but she likes what she's doing and she wants to do it well.
Relations with Mario, c'est relation tout comme si on traduit maman biologique avec petite. Moi, capable de formation, ça ouvre comme jeune là.
Mais à qui d'aller, moi, parce que j'ai tout le bagage qui m'a besoin. Ça, comme d'avoir vu un médecin, c'est parce que moi, j'ai un talent, mais il y a un peu le monde.
Mais moi-même, avec Timon, nous considérons nous tant que frère, nous, c'est nous.
He make you proud. You take them from the most difficult situation, and now they are growing up, and they are getting ready to leave the compound with skills, with ability to become something that makes you proud and happy.
So yeah, quick backstory. You know, how does the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation get involved in work in Haiti? How does True North get involved in Haiti? So just, you know, second time I went, the person narrating that video is actually a guy named Wislin. He was just a little guy. He was running the streets, an orphan in Haiti, got taken in their huge heart for God. For the longest time, he thought he wanted to be a pastor, was out in the mission field in Haiti and realized the huge need for medical care, and is the doctor that runs our hospital, graduated at the top of his class. He could be doing medicine here. He's a very gifted guy. He's chosen to stay home. But Wislin and a couple of the other kids at the orphanage when they were teenagers felt like God had given them a vision, had laid on their heart to love people of Haiti like God had used them as orphans to love them and take them in. So love your neighbor, right? And it's amazing how their passion for Jesus has impacted so many people, right? Over 30,000 on a daily basis. And, you know, we put together, they just celebrated their 30th anniversary yesterday. Not a more difficult place than any place in the world, I'm convinced, over the last 30 years to do something like they've done. And when I think about the message this morning and the power of the Holy Spirit working through people to transform lives, I think of Ida D. You know, it's been a huge blessing to me to have seen this up close and, you know, watch these kids grow up great. So we put together a little document. It's meant to be a quick read document. And Amber, we're going to do this a little different. Just flipping through those slides as if you were reaching through it, just shows you the scope of the ministry that they've created down there, that God's created through them. So yeah, pretty amazing, right? Arguably the poorest kids in the world, orphans. They really took these passages of scripture we're reading to heart and were naive enough to believe that the power of the Holy Spirit could literally take this vision that they have and bring it to fruition and then some, right? So 30 years in, Haiti, you know, earthquakes, hurricanes, cholera, HIV, AIDS, the gangs have literally taken over, you know, the majority of the country right now. I don't know if you guys have read any Haiti news. You might want to just Google it when you get home. Amazing that through all that, I think the most difficult place on the earth over the last 30 years to accomplish what they've accomplished. But it's God's Spirit, right, moving through that love. And you guys are a part of that. You know that? It's significant, and you're a valuable member of the team, right? If my friends from Haiti were here this morning, they'd be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for that vision. And, you know, over the years, I started by taking a group of high school kids down there who were seniors from this area, North Allegheny. Great kids, great families, great parents, but I just felt like they needed a little perspective jolt. And they got it. And I got it too. I think until you've seen that kind of struggle for survival up close, you really can't appreciate it. And you really can't appreciate what we have at a level that we need to appreciate it. So the good news I have today is we're in the north. The word Haiti literally means mountains. Haiti's about the size of the state of Maryland. Most of the population lives in Port-au-Prince in the south. 70% of the population and the gangs are controlling all of that. But because the gangs have shut off the roads, the arteries to food, medicine, everything shut off. But the good news is they can't get to the north. So our people are safe. But the Joshua House is a really nice retreat center we have. We actually have 72 kids that were in an orphanage in the south that the gangs came in and took over their orphanage, and they're living there right now, but they want to go back, and the UN's talking about sending in some significant troops for the first time. So things could get really safe in Haiti, safer than they've been in 20 years overnight. And I'm hopeful for that. Justin's hopeful for that. I was talking to Amber about the missions team here and the stuff you guys are doing. Exciting stuff. I'd hopefully get you down there. Because super cute Ryan up here would tell you that his life was changed on a trip to Haiti. I actually got to see he and his wife Leslie kind of, I think, really fall in love during that week. So I would love for you guys to have that experience too. But in the meantime, be praying for them, praying for us. And I just want to leave you with a question, man. I mean, who is it in your life that God's put in your life to love? You know, I got a guy next door, little neighbor, that I, you know, believe God put in my life for a reason. You know, he doesn't know Jesus. He's got this huge shell. And you know what? I've been encouraged by reading this word again. I just know that God's power and his love is going to break through. And for the first time last night, we were having kind of a painful conversation about his birthday, right? And some of the pain he's feeling because he is disabled, but that he's sensing God's love breaking through. And I know that if you pray about that tomorrow morning when you get up and you wake up with God, he'll point you in the direction of some people, right? And in the meantime, you're part of a great church that God is working through in this way and loving your neighbor and exciting things are happening. And I'm really encouraged to be with you this morning as a father who deeply cares about his kids and grandkids that are a part of this, but also the kingdom of God and the impact that you're making that some of you didn't even realize, right, till this morning. So hopefully you'll take that home with you too. Let me pray us on out of here. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for True North. I thank you for the vision of Justin and the leadership of this church to love their neighbors and how seriously that they're taking that. And it's just so encouraging to see that love in action this morning. A lot of people have been blessed by that, and I have been blessed by that. Kids in Pittsburgh have been blessed by that. Kids in Haiti have been blessed by that. I am super grateful for that, Lord. But as we leave here today, help us not to miss just the power of Jesus' message, but the importance in our own lives, Lord, that someday when we come into your kingdom, the question we're going to be asked is, hey, how did you do with this idea of loving your neighbor? And hopefully we'll have great stories to tell, not because of us, but because of your power working through us and our ability to trust you and to give our lives to allow you to do that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.